I think before I begin, there's probably a few of you, like myself, who noticed that somehow that third candle is out. And we got to have that lit. Where's the match? I'm going to borrow from one to light the other. There's always a few of us. We don't like this. These things happen in life. You know, God is not easy to comprehend. He's a mystery. And in fact, he's quite impossible to grasp. Far more complex than any computer. And we made them, so somebody can figure those things out. But because they're complex, computer programmers, they make books, they make computers easier to operate, and then you can buy them, This program for dummies, there used to be a whole pile of them on the shelf. Well, that's God. He's made himself user-friendly. So that we slow learners could begin to grasp how much he can do for us. Whoever wants to know about God, Jesus makes him simple and accessible so that we, even children, can grasp who God is. Jesus is a little bit like, if you will, a soft cover version of God for Dummies. God knows, history shows, ever since the Garden of Eden, we displaced people have had trouble finding and knowing who God is. And Christ is God's way of connecting with anyone who's lost touch. With God and with himself goes together. God has so clearly communicated himself in Christ that he has removed all reason for doubt about who he is, about who we are and are called to be. We no longer need to be in the fog. As it were, God sent his fog lights so that we are able in Christ to see our way through the chaos and confusion in our world. The reason we can possess this kind of clarity or sanity, the reason God has given us this window on life itself, is because back at one point in time or eternity, you might say in his freedom, he had this carnal thought, I'm going to come down and take on their flesh so that I can connect with humans again. Seems like an odd way for the Almighty to go about doing things, especially in that world and with the Greeks who thought God was, and that's who John's writing to, God was completely separate from this evil universe. And he's bringing them together, says John. But really, those of us familiar with the scriptures would say, that's not such a strange thing. What did God do in the very beginning? I mean, if we back up and see how everything got started, that's when God said, let's make humans in our image, like us, flesh and blood people, males and females, who can reflect us, who can share our qualities, our characteristics, our very being. It's only because our forefather and mother went off the rails that God had to come a second time, as the scriptures say, as a second Adam, to show us what the original intention was. And so in order to communicate as clearly as possible, God takes on flesh. As the message says, he moved right into our neighborhood, and he became the word on the street. The word, in Greek it's logos. We get the word logic out of it. And for those to whom John was writing, the Greeks, that word described what might be called the ordering principle or the logic of the world. Greek thinkers viewed the world as a principled universe, and behind it was this logos. We might call it karma-like wisdom. Somewhere up there, something's got to be ordering this world that fits the logos. Today, some would talk about cosmic power. Force, feel it. It's in the universe. It's around us. There's more to life, everybody knows it, than what meets the eye. There's hidden intelligent design. We're on this planet. It's massive, swirling, and we can't manage it. We'd love to be able to. We can just barely begin to figure it out. At some point, everybody realizes, and they come face to face with the fact that there's a higher power. And to the Greeks, that was logos, the logic of life. So John's making a deliberate and a direct connect between the ordered universe and Jesus. You might say he's connecting northern lights and the light of the world. The sun with a U and the sun with an O. The logos that was with God and was God in the beginning, when things all got started, is the one who took on flesh. That word is what made the world. Powerful, powerful word. He just said, let there be light. And there was light. And that light has entered and become the light of the world. It's like natural law, as we speak of it, supernaturally became a person in Jesus. Creator God entered the Babel and the chaos, as in the beginning when things were disordered, and he came among us. And he spoke in such a way that we could understand him, says John. Made sense. This is Christmas. His window into it. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 puts it this way. Same language. Just listen. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. This Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You want to see God? Says John. You got to look through this window that he's provided and take a hard look at Jesus. Because when you listen to him, you're listening to God. If you follow him, you're walking with God. He's the one that now unites God and man, heaven and earth. It's like he's brought God's drama right down here. A little like, I think, showed up at our door this past week. Maybe some of you have heard of, I don't know about, Shen Yun. It's a play coming to the Queen Elizabeth's Theatre in January. And it's being dubbed as a way to, quote, enter the land of the divine. To experience a divine culture, it says right on the front. What is it doing for us? It says, enter the gates to a lost civilization where dance and music connect heaven and earth. And then they explain. Thousands of years ago, Chinese believed that their culture was a gift, a sacred gift from heaven. That ancient world of splendor has since been lost. But now you can come and see it be relived amazingly on the stage. It's Lord John's doing. He's saying, there was this culture in the beginning that God created. It was amazing. It's been lost. But the mastermind made it possible for you and I to see it in Jesus, this gift of life. The writer and the director of human history has come, as it were, behind the curtain from behind, and he's entered right on stage. And now the incomprehensible can be comprehended. The mystery of who in the world is he, she, we meet in Jesus. Problem, mystery solved. God in human packaging. In a box, if you will. For some, it was too much, says John. They didn't recognize him. They saw him, they heard him, couldn't embrace him. Even his own people, to whom God promised that he would send this great Messiah, they saw him, but they didn't receive him. But whoever did, I did, says John. I saw how this is the Word become flesh and how he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the one and only. Came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so he verified it. A little bit like I've had to do a number of times. I don't do that much anymore, but you sign the back of a passport, right? Or the application, a picture. They bring it in and they set it down and you look at the front. Yep, I verify, that's who that is. A few people, and these are rarely nice pictures, say, don't look at the front, just sign it. I'm sorry, I gotta look at the front. John says, by all means, turn it over and look at the front. Because it's amazing who you're going to see. Some didn't recognize him. They only saw a stinky little stable. But he said, we saw an Emmanuel. Some people looked at him and he said, that guy's deranged. He's got a few problems. Not us, says John. We saw him. He spoke truth. This man made sense. He pieced life together. Some only saw a cross, but we saw an open tomb. And we met the resurrected Lord. And here's my conclusion, says John in verse 18. No one's ever seen God. But this is the one and only, used to say, begotten Son. This is the one and precious Son of God who is himself God, who's in closest relationship, so intimate in one with God. And he made him known. And the truth is, that keeps happening. The Word continues to take on flesh to this very day. God continues to take up residence in any one of us who's ready to accept the Word. Verse 12 and 13, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent or human decision or husband's will, born of God. Receive the Word, become flesh, and you become one of his children. Adopted into the family. Let God's Word have its rightful place in your heart, and he takes us, wandering, displaced people, and he gives us a sense of identity, and we feel like this is not just God's world. This is my world. I'm one of his kids. This is his family farm, if you will. Or to put it another way, when we listen to God speak, let him have his say, with the intent to obey, the Spirit breathes life. If you will, immaculate conceptions continue to happen as the Spirit creates through the seed of the Word life. It's how we get the restart. It's how we get this being born from above or again. Cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you become like a child. And there's a sense in which all of us are continually laboring for this new life. And how every day in some ways again is like a restart. It comes through the Spirit as we submit to the Word of Christ, which sprouts in us, takes on life, and we grow in him. You know, we're all at different stages in this. I often say to people, there's two ways to go in life. You're either going that way or you're going that way. And it doesn't matter where on that line you're going, so long as you're going in the right direction. But you may be wondering. A lot of people who come to church and then they leave, sometimes for really good reasons. But you might secretly be wondering, really, who is this Jesus? Who is this Word? Will you take a look? He's the truth. He's the one who made everything. So he knows how everything functions, right? He's the architect of this universe. Plants, animals, oceans, space. And he's the one who in the beginning miraculously made us with our sense and our senses and our sexuality. Isn't Jesus then the one who can piece your and my life together, no matter what detail we are talking about? Who is this Jesus? Isn't the issue whether or not we're ready to submit ourselves absolutely, fully to him who is the truth? And the more we submit to him and learn about him, the more we learn about ourselves. The more we can make sense of every part of our life, body, soul, mind, and spirit. The truth, says Jesus, will set you free to be your true self. Some of us are quite familiar with Jesus. We may have gotten so accustomed to him that, like a good friend or our spouse, we just kind of take him for granted. And this is an invitation for you to not do that. I think Advent is meant to be a little bit like a date with a good friend, where we look each other in the eye and we get to know more about each other. And we grow in our love for each other. It's like Paul said in Colossians. Advent is like an invitation to know more about the glorious riches of this mystery, says Paul, which is Christ in you, our hope of glory. In this time of year where we tend to wrap up, get a little busier, so much to plan, it's the nature of this season. It's good, unless it keeps us from reflecting deeply on who Christ is and who we are in him. So let God speak to you, because he's going to come in these next few weeks that are left in a song, in a verse, an Old Testament reading of a prophet or a poet. In the coming weeks here yet, in the stories of Zechariah and Elizabeth, you'll meet Jesus in the humble heart of Mary. And as you listen to these stories, and you're about to hear one from my wife, Lynn, listen for where God is at work and become more in touch with the amazing gift of God becoming incarnate in Christ. And the more we listen, you may come up, Lynn, the more we listen, you know, the more the word will get fleshed out in you and I, the more we'll be prepared for the day when he comes back to make all things new. Lynn's going to share from her own life.